Welcome to Packaged, the official podcast of the Liquor Stores Association of Western Australia. Your host today, Peter Peck.
Western Australia must be one of the luckiest places on earth. We have not had community spread of COVID-19 for well over 130 days. When you put that in comparison with Victoria, it makes our day-to-day challenges pale into insignificance. So what is life like in Melbourne from a packaged liquor industry perspective? So we're about to find out. We're talking to President of the National Liquor Committee, George Kovitz. George, how are you?
Good morning, Peter. I'm well considering our circumstances, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. Being in Victoria at the moment and in Melbourne, it's got to be just a different world.
It is. It is a different world. It's very challenging for our members, considering what's going on with COVID-19 and the restrictions that have been placed on them by the Andrews government. But our members are fairing well and moving and progressing on with what they've got to do. We're fortunate that liquor stores have been deemed as an essential service and they've been able to remain open and trade, which has been very beneficial for a lot of our metropolitan store owners, but it hasn't been so good for our regional area owners who have been suffering the lack of tourism throughout the coastal retreats and the snowfields.
So from where I sit, the fight to make us essential services over here in WA was a fairly rigorous one. What was it like for you guys and ongoing? Is it still a battle?
It was a battle in that the government initially was not going to allow freestanding bottle shops to operate, whereas they were going to allow licensed grocers to operate, which is a very good thing. And it was a bit of a battle for us to convince the government logic that they couldn't allow one category of liquor store to operate and not the other. It would just be chaotic and drive things underground. So they saw the light and agreed with us that, yes, it was a must that all liquor stores remain open.
Do you have any contingencies if they then take away that level of operation?
I don't think they will take away that level of operation. They're already working on a new strategy for coming out of COVID-19 restriction fall, and they've got a program that they're looking to implement, which would be a traffic light scenario. We'll have a red, green and amber, depending on the level of infections that are occurring whilst we're progressing out of it. So basic things are face masks, social distancing and trading hours will probably stay in place. I think we can only hope that we allow all businesses to open and we start trading normally again. But we've been very fortunate, as I said, our members have been deemed as essential service and have been able to keep trading.
So for people in retail, Melbourne, it's a really different world. You spoke about face masks.
The staff are under duress. They live in a very stressful environment for that reason, but also they live at the coalface of danger. Everyone they engage with, every customer they engage with, has a likelihood of infecting or causing infection within that store. So we've had a couple that have had to shut down where a staff member has been diagnosed with COVID-19 and they've had to go through a deep cleansing process, which has worked very, very well. But look, it is a stressful situation, especially for our members and the frontline customer service people that we employ.
When a staff member gets COVID, then the store's closed, I take it. And you said deep cleaning. How long does that take? How long is the store offline for? And do you know what that actually involves?
It's quite onerous. I mean, a deep clean means that every touchable item within the store has to be wiped down and cleaned, with floors mopped, counters completely wiped down, handles on fridges, glass doors, just about every fitting in the store has to be cleaned and wiped down. Telephones, computers, point of sale material, the whole lot. So it is an extensive task, and there are people, professionals out there that do that, and it takes up to 10 to 12 hours, depending on the size of the store, to have a deep cleanse of that store.
So you're basically going to lose a day's trade if that happens?
That would be the worst case scenario, yes.
Okay. Other staff members may be needed to quarantine as a close contact for 14 days?
All staff have to be quarantined until the results come back. If it's a positive result, then they stay at home until such time as the 14 days expires and they're given the all clear. So at the worst case scenario, it could be up to a week in lost trading for those members who may experience a COVID infection in their store.
Wow, that's a huge hit, isn't it?
Oh, massive hit for small businesses. As you know, it's been a struggle over the last 4 or 5 years or more at retail, and for a small independent bottle shop that had to shut down for a week is a massive loss.
Because a lot of them would be running on family as staff, so that pretty much everybody would be gone.
Correct. Yeah, if it's a family with no staff, they would have to just shut the building until such time as they got given the all clear.
And cleaning,
and that could be 14 days.
And cleaning every service, every bottle. That's incredible.
Yeah, and it's a big cost. It'd be upwards of thousands of dollars to get a deep cleansing of a business done.
Unbelievable. So in regards to life within the liquor industry in Melbourne, the world obviously still chugs along. What type of assistance has the department that looks after racing, gaming, liquor in Victoria given to you? So in Western Australia, they said we're not going to be charging you licences this year. You guys had much relief in that respect?
We have. I think it's been a national approach by all the authorities that control liquor licensing. The Victorian government, which is done through the Victorian Gaming, Liquor and Racing, have issued a complete refund of all license fees and all applications and transfers, and they've given them a lot of other concessions with fees that are chargeable. So a lot of members got back their total fees.
So that's always a good thing. What about things like tastings? Are they allowed to happen at the moment, or are they off the books?
No, there's been no tastings because of social distancing, and we've been encouraging our members not to keep customers in the store any longer than they should be in there whilst making a purchase. So there's a 1.5 distancing, and depending on the size square meterage of the store, that determines how many people you can have in your store. So many of the stores can only have 2 to 3 people in the store at any one time, and they must remain 1.5 metres away from each other while they're waiting. So there's no tastings going on whatsoever.
So in a town like Melbourne, when you have people working from home, then the sort of the population of the town drops dramatically. If people aren't driving in there for work or whatever, does that make it, that would obviously make it a much more difficult retail for city-based liquor stores?
The CBD has suffered dramatically. The CBD, the Melbourne CBD, is an absolute ghost town. With the curfew, the 8 o'clock curfew now, most of the stores are trading at latest 7:45, 7:30 to allow any customer to get home by 8 o'clock. So by 8 o'clock, there's no one in the streets or around at all. And our members then offer home delivery service up to 11 o'clock. So the customer can ring up the store, and the store can deliver to their home as required up to 11 o'clock. So a lot of that's been going on to meet consumers' needs. It's something that I've never lived through before, Peter. It's something that no one in Australia's ever lived through before. And it's something that really has impacted our total community, people's shopping habits, the way they operate, and the stress and everything that's involved. So when are we going to come through with it? I don't know. But we've been fortunate through the whole process that our members have been able to trade. As I said, some of them haven't been successful because they've been in regional resorts and they really suffered. But the government has put in place some supportive measures to support them financially, JobKeeper and Job Safer and what have you. So it's good in that behalf. So
it's a different world, isn't it? I mean, I never ever, outside of wartime, would have ever expected a curfew in a metropolitan city for, you know, ongoing period of time. It just makes us on this side of the country really appreciate that we really have got nothing to complain about compared to what you guys are going through. So the other thing is, obviously, HR, we use you guys for our members as well. I take it this has been a challenging time for HR with issues. Can you walk us through a few of those?
Oh, the IR department has been working flat out in terms of making sure that our members are well equipped with their obligations and how to manage staff and how to implement the COVID trading schemes that they've got to put in place. But yeah, they've been very busy with advice on the wage rates and everything else that goes with running a small business. It's been flat out.
The fact that the borders are closed means that we don't have overseas tourists. Now, over here, statistics have been kicked around saying that a domestic tourist may spend $1,000 to $1,200 per trip, where a Chinese tourist is known to spend around, on average, $8,000 per person per trip. How hard has this hit your guys in that area?
The hospitality, the total hospitality industry has suffered enormously. Hotel occupancies are right down. Hotels have had to shut. They can only offer takeaway meals and takeaway alcohol. So that sector has been severely impacted. Now, we've been very fortunate with the packaged liquor that we've been able to keep trading, but it's been an absolute horrendous time for the hospitality, live band venues, the hoteliers, and the international hotels, and just general hotels in general. You know, it's just been horrific for them.
So in a time like this, it's sort of like adapt or just dwindle and disappear. How are your guys going in that respect, adapting to the new world that we live in with restrictions, etc.?
Most of our members have adapted quite well. They've adapted quite well. They've adjusted their business model accordingly and their service and offer accordingly, and they're doing well. As I said earlier, the ones that are really, really struggling have been the businesses that have been in the heart of the CBD. Could you imagine all of a sudden a city that has, you know, a million workers or 500,000, 600,000 workers every day going through the streets, and services has none? So all those CBD businesses have really suffered, and as have the regional resort areas where people have been unable to go to their normal holiday resort or their holiday home and spend time down there. I'm working from home. I'm in a coastal town called Lawn, and that has a population of about 1,500 people, and it fluctuates over the weekends to 4,000 or 5,000 or 6,000 people. Well, you could shoot a cannon up Mount Joy Parade at the moment. There's just no one around. It's just quiet, and the only shops that are open are little coffee shops, or fortunately our local bottle shop and food store. Licensed like grocer that's down here. So that's all that's happening. So it's a real dilemma for everyone in retail.
So the fact that you guys are there, the fact that Master Grocers is there, I take it your members feel a little bit more comfortable. They've got someone they can call on, can't they, if things get a bit tough, and someone to talk to, and possibly a new set of eyes can give them a new direction and new focus.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, look, our members are probably working harder than they've ever worked, providing a community service, and people are now dining at home, so they're busier buying groceries and they're drinking at home rather than out. So although packaged liquor sales have increased, total liquor consumption has stayed pretty stable. It hasn't been that great, but packaged liquor home consumption has increased in sales, no doubt.
How's coronavirus or COVID-19 impacted the social fabric? Because people haven't been able to visit other people, things like that. Where has that sat in regards to the impact in the industry?
Social distancing is one thing. I think people are really suffering from confinement shock, and it is an issue. A mental health issue has been a problem throughout the community, and I think everyone's sort of reaching out to make sure that people are communicating and mixing and gathering as best they can through webinars and telephone and what have you. But look, it is a concern. I think mental stability and everything else that goes with isolation is a concern, but I think there's a lot of plans in place to try and counter that with the community.
Because mental health now would be a fairly large OSH issue, wouldn't it, in these particular times?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, George. Well, look, thanks for taking the time out to talk to us. I've got to ask one question that that everyone's wondering, though. You're working at home. Do you get out of your pyjamas?
No comment.
Okay. Well, we'll just have to keep digging until we find out. Look, George, thanks very much for your time. You take care of yourself and your family. We'll talk to you on the other side.
Good on you, Peter. Thank you, and to you and yours, take care.
Thanks, mate.